D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. I hope everybody is having a wonderful afternoon and a safe and relaxing start to your commute home, but you never know.
I just got a text.
Okay.
And I'm not. See, it's just, they try to get you. You know, these little spam things, they try to get you.
So this is not an official text to the text line?
No.
No, it's not.
Driven by Wilson County Honey.
This is not someone texting you to try to get their comments read on the air.
Yes.
This is somebody trying to lure you in.
Yeah, someone's trying to lure me in. But I'm not going to go for it. I'm not going for it.
I'll tell you.
Not one bit.
I'll tell you a scam text that I get a lot. It's from some number pretending to be a toll. Like, you
yes,
have outstanding toll payments.
That
don't,
did
don't
get
fall
me.
For it.
It
don't fall for it.
It got me.
It got you?
Well, not really, but it almost got me. I did click on it. I did think. I was like, look, I drove my daughter to college, and I drove Mahoney a couple summers ago, all around the Northeast to these baseball showcases.
So you were just like,
showcases.
I must have gotten
I was like,
a ticket.
Maybe there was a state that I owed, whatever.
No, nah, you don't
So I clicked on it, and it was like, boom. I was like, well, I got to get out of this. What happened?
They're listening to you now, Willie.
Because they're like, we're going to take your driver's license, and we're going to suspend it. And
I'm like, come on, take them. Take them.
More than a decade ago, when you first started getting those calls about your car warranty.
Uh-huh.
When I was living in Washington, D.C., so this is how long ago it was because I hadn't moved to Nashville yet, I remember getting one of those calls. And the person on the other line said something about the warranty and I had to pay this. And if I didn't pay it before I hung up the phone, the offer was going to be gone. And I was young and naive, and I said, hey, if this is true, give me a callback number. Let me talk to my parents who helped me pay for my first car, and I'll get back to you. And I kid you not, the telemarketer, the scam artist, hung up on me.
Which
they
never
were like,
happened.
This guy is not an easy mark. He hung up on me.
Hey, you showed him. Got it.
He hung up and he was like, we had him. We almost had him.
I said, I kept on saying, I'll call you back. Let me have your number. No, he was like, if you don't do it before you hang up the phone, it goes away. And I was like, well, I can't do it. Click.
Well, he went on. You know, the bad part about it.
What's that?
They just went on to the next person.
Probably.
They didn't even think twice about you and not wanting to give up your precious information.
No.
They didn't care.
So that's just one technique to ward off scam artists. Just claim that you have to talk to your parents before you can pay anything, and then they'll eventually hang up on you.
So how do you ward off evil fans?
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Because the Tennessee Titans have wrapped up their joint practice, just one joint practice, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com will join us at 4 o'clock. He was live in Tampa for that practice, so we will get his first-person insight on it. But one clip that went viral today was Jarvis Brownlee Jr. having to be restrained by teammates and maybe a member of the coaching staff. He had to be restrained from Tampa Bay Buccaneers fans who were under a tent on the sideline. Now, I haven't seen any reporting as to what incited this incident. I imagine it was just a bunch of fans being fans and talking trash and must have said something that Jarvis Brownlee took personally. So when you look at the video, because I've only seen one, you just see Jarvis Brownlee yapping as his teammates and a member of the coaching staff are trying to remove him from the situation. So I was curious what Derek Mason would think about this if he were a veteran on this Tennessee Titans team and he saw a young defensive back yakking at fans. How would you handle that? How would you evaluate that?
I guess there would be two ways you can handle, depending on where you were when the incident happened. If I'm near Brownlee and I'm hearing what's going on, I may approach it one way. But if I don't, then there's another. But all in all, I think that's something that you know when it's done in fun, because I've seen guys heckle fans and fans heckle guys, and it's all in fun and they're laughing and smiling. So that you can kind of let go. But when it starts getting into sort of your emotions and you're going near, you know, the fan, I think that's when a veteran needs to come in and say, hey, listen, we don't need it. That's all you need to say to a guy. We don't need it. Pull him away. You don't have to scold him on, you know, what he shouldn't do or should not do. Just, hey, we're not here for that. Let's go. Show him on the field. That's all you got to do. I'm sure that whoever that fan was said some things, and they kept saying things. In a minute, you know, they felt they had the attention of Brownlee Jr., and they kept going at it, and he went back at them. So, but that's one of those situations where you should, and I'm sure the Titans do, have someone on the sideline behind the players. I know they have them at home when they're here practicing. They have a bunch of people just walking around that are on staff, making sure no one steps over or say anything out of pocket. And maybe they should have those same people if they don't, you know, behind players. Because, listen, there are some great fans out there that just love to heckle you just for – just it's sort of a sport, and they take it in jest. It's not mean-spirited. But then there are some fans that say things mean-spirited just so they can get a reaction from you. Those type of fans shouldn't be allowed in the building or shouldn't be allowed anywhere near a practice. Now, if you want to heckle and it's all in jest, then fine. Because, listen, I enjoyed it as a player. The best stadium that I've ever played in when it comes to fans and heckling is Cleveland. I loved Cleveland because they went at me and I went back at them, and we all smiled while we were doing it. And it was nothing malicious. That I can go for. But when it starts to cross the line, and I'm not saying that the fan did cross the line, but whatever that fan said, it got Brownlee Jr. to sort of, you know, get beside himself. But you asked a question. You said, is it good that defensive backs have that type of attitude? I would rather him have that and we kind of, you know, nurture it than to not have it and we're trying to put it in you. If you don't have that, I can't put it in you. At least I know he has it, and now we can kind of work around it.
The way I described it, Willie, to Derek before the show was, isn't it a good thing for a young DB to have maybe one screw loose? Maybe not completely loose. It's wiggling a little bit.
Just wiggling, yeah.
As long as he didn't get in there and go over the – there was a situation in Major League Baseball earlier this year. Mm-hmm. A guy named Dennis Santana, who is now the closer for the Pirates. He was the setup man at the time. He got into it with some fan.
During the game?
During the game. He wasn't in the game. He was in the bullpen, I think. Mm-hmm. And he claimed that the fan crossed the line, and he then crossed the line and got suspended for a couple of games. And I don't think fought it. A lot of detail didn't really come out. But like the rule of thumb is always, it's never good to engage. Like if you can hold off and just let it roll off your back, that's always the best way to go. But another part of me is also at times kind of good, kind of happy that every now and then it's like you know, every now and then the bull needs to win in the bullfighting.
Yes,
it's like the fan does need to be reminded that, you know, you could get your butt kicked if you do something really stupid. And so I have no idea what the fan was doing. Maybe the fan, whatever he was yelling, was misinterpreted or really wasn't all that bad. But there are times where people say some pretty nasty stuff, and you deserve to get your clock cleaned every now and then.
Right? I think people,
at least be scared.
Yeah, I think people, some fans feel they are entitled to say what they want to say, how they want to say it, just because they're paying money. That doesn't necessarily, you know, fly with athletes. Yeah, there are. You can heckle. Oh, you're playing bad. Oh, I can even go with the you're a bum out there. I can go with that. And you know, yeah. If you're playing bad, you're just playing bad. You're right. Hey, you're not good. But when you start to make it personal and sort of get in that space, then I don't care how much of damn money you paid. I don't care who your family is. There's a line you just don't cross. And I think some of the fan, not all, it's not every fan. There is a small section of the fan bases in every sport that feels that because they pay a ticket and they may sit up in the front of whoever, they can say any and everything they want to. And that's not, I mean, yeah, but there may be some consequences to it as well. So, I mean, I don't know what was said in this particular situation. But may I just rule of thought is don't even engage, you know, especially a young player, because you can get your, you know, you're hot out there and you've been going back and forth in these plays and you get irritated. You may have had a bad period, you know, during practice, and then all of a sudden fan gets on you. You just take it to another level. That shouldn't happen. At all as a player.
One texter on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, says, the video is already trending on Yahoo Sports. Love it. Brownlee isn't taking any crap. That fan would have run like he was in a marathon if they would have turned Brownlee loose. That's probably true. To Derek's point, there are a lot of fans who subscribe to the Homer Simpson way of thinking, which is this ticket doesn't just give me a seat. It also gives me the right, no, the duty to make a complete ass of myself. There are a lot of fans who subscribe to that way of thinking, but we will see if any reporting comes out of this. Again, all we've seen is the video of Brownlee being taken away from the fan area. Again, Paul Kaharsky of PaulKaharsky.com will join us at 4 o'clock. He was at the practice in Tampa. Maybe he will be able to tell us a little bit more, and we will dig in to the nuts and bolts of practice with Paul at 4 o'clock. But just to give you a sense of how Cam Ward performed in this practice, I will read from Nick Suss of the Tennessean. Quote, it was hardly a perfect day, but it's more than fair to say Cam Ward looks like he belongs. The Titans rookie quarterback was up and down during his first exposure to another NFL team, a joint practice against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He struggled to connect with receivers downfield in a one-on-one drill that's designed to favor the offense, and he threw an interception on his first rep of team two-minute offense, failing to get a ball far enough ahead of tight end Chigakonkwo and instead guiding it into the belly of linebacker Hassan Reddick. Raise your hand if you forgot that Hassan Reddick was still in the NFL, because I don't think he played last year. More from Nick Suss.
Guided it to the belly. That's description for you. For those of us that were not in Tampa that couldn't watch this. Now I have this visual of Hassan Reddick's belly.
Ward is far from a finished product, Suss writes, but some of his polish is starting to show through. He thrived in red zone drills, guiding touchdowns to Bryce Oliver and Chimere Dike in tight windows after struggling in those drills for the first 2 weeks of practice. He was 4-for-4 passing in 7-on-7 drills, including a crossing route to receiver Calvin Ridley for a chunk gain. So that's just a taste of what Nick Suss of the Tennessean saw at Titans Buccaneers practice. Again, Paul Kaharsky will join us at 4 o'clock. We will get into that more, but Cam Ward had some interesting comments after practice, David Janes, if you will. Here is some of what Cam Ward said about learning what he can and can't do in the NFL versus college.
How are things coming along for you as far as that process of finding out what you can and can't get away with, just getting used to the timing?
It's coming along fast. And then me, especially me with Coach Callahan one-on-one, him letting me know what I can get away with, then also what I can't get away with. And more of it's just the time you get away with it, whether it's third down, whether you're flush out the pocket, you have to make a play. I think that's the biggest adjustment that I'm focused on right now, is just really trying to stay above the sticks.
So that was some of Cam Ward after practice today. A lot of texters want to weigh in on the fan-athlete dynamic. Andrew says, Tom Brady is the only player I have ever said mean personal stuff to, and that turd deserved it, LOL.
Wow, okay.
Dylan on our text line says, there was a UFC fight last year where the losing fighter jumped over the cage and fought someone in the crowd because that fan had yelled out his mother's address, indicating that he was going to that fighter's mom's house and to do something.
See, it's stuff like that. I don't condone violence, not one bit. But see, stuff like that, when that come out of your mouth, you're basically saying, hey, come over here and punch me in the face. That's what you're saying. I don't condone it. But when you say things like that, you're asking someone, please, can you hit me? I deserve to be hit right now. That's what you're saying. Again, I don't condone it. But when you step outside of the box, because fans know exactly when they're saying things and how they're saying it.
Yes. The other thing that I think has increased mm-hmm. with the amount of, and I don't have any studies to back this up, mm-hmm. but I would say that with all of the online betting, the intensity of, especially the bets on a particular player to do mm-hmm. a particular thing, somebody he does not know at all, like, Adam, you did not get enough receptions today, so I'm taking it out on you. Like, there's a personal thing because you just lost money or something. I think that maybe increases the chances that somebody just goes nuts, mm-hmm. a fan goes nuts. And that puts the player in a tough spot.
It puts him in a tough spot. But we know that it's the player that gets highlighted in a situation like
right.
that.
They don't talk about
Joe Fan
was mad because he lost $12.
Yeah, so
and he blew a stack.
There you go. Thinking about, you know, Cam and the description that Nick sort of gave us, this is what you want to see now. You know, not being there, we can't really, you know, see it live and get all the nuances that goes on, you know, during that play and why he did what he did and why, you know, a certain period was bad and the other period was good. But this is what you want to see from your young quarterback. I am predicting that every, at least today, every sort of note that comes out, every report that comes out about Cam, I think it's going to be possibly what Nick Suss is saying. Little up, little down, but it looks like he's progressing. This is what you want to see from your young your rookie quarterback, when he's playing against someone outside of his team. You're going to see your ups and downs. So I'm interested with tomorrow. I know they don't practice them tomorrow.
No, it was
but
just one practice.
Saturday, those long balls that they didn't hit or those passes that were underthrown, I wonder if once they get in the game, will he be on the mark then?
That's a good question. Matthew from Jolton, the only time I said something personal to a player was the 1 year David Riddich was on the Preds and had to come in after Saros got hurt and allowed one of the softest goals in Predators history. I do not recall the specific goal, but...
Oh, my gosh.
Willie, it sounds like you remember that, Willie.
Oh, yeah. Well, the season changed in that moment.
Yes.
Because, number one, UC Saros was out for the year.
Yeah.
Riddich allowed a goal. It was not a good goal.
In the same game?
Oh, yeah.
So that was against against the Flames?
Oh, yeah. Maybe in the final second or two.
Oh, yes. Now it comes back.
And then they lost in overtime, and that eventually flipped the draw where instead of the Predators playing the Flames in the first round, a much more beatable team, they got to play the Avalanche without UC Saros. That was a
so
really
Matthew,
rough night.
I think you were justified in your
action. Yeah, there were some people not very happy with Big Save Dave that night.
Is he considered Big Save Dave?
That was a big angle.
Not that night.
He is a great guy, a very fun personality. And to his credit, he has rebounded and done some pretty good things for the LA Kings the last couple of years. But he did not do well as Saros' backup.
I think this is a good one to end this segment on.
Okay.
Alex from Montreal. Back in the day, I drove Gary Sheffield crazy at the Olympic Stadium. Then he hit a game winner and told me where to put it.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. There you go.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, Paul Kaharsky, live from Tampa, will join us at 4 o'clock. We will get his analysis on what he saw from Titans practice. Matthew from Jolton chimes in. No save, Dave. Not big save, Dave. No save, Dave. But coming up next, it's time to bust out the wide receiver translator. Because A.J. Brown did an interview with Pardon My Take, and he was asked about the trade from Tennessee to Philadelphia. Now that Treylon Burks is no longer a member of the Tennessee Titans, what did A.J. Brown have to say, and what does our resident wide receiver think A.J. Brown really means? We'll get to that next, 615-737-1025. Speaking of 1025 The Game, Souls for Souls and 1025 The Game have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into the new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality.
Big day and everything. You were let go 2 days later.
Yep.
Did you have any warning, John? Did you have any idea that was happening? Because we didn't.
No, I don't think anybody does. Like, you know, it is what it is. And again, I can't say enough of how grateful I am for Amy and the opportunity she gave me. And I know that was probably a hard decision for her. And I respect her for the decision that she made. It was a bold decision, and she made it. And I'm extremely grateful and proud of everything that she did for me and my family in my time here. You know, we had a great relationship, and they made a collective decision to go a different direction, and that's the decision they made.
That was former Titans GM John Robinson with Chase and Big Joe discussing his firing a couple of days after A.J. Brown went off on the Tennessee Titans in Philadelphia a couple of years ago. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. If you haven't listened to our show before, we have a segment, a recurring segment, called the Wide Receiver Translator, because, as you all know, Derek Mason played in the NFL for a little bit, was quite good at it, and he speaks the language of wide receiver, which the rest of us don't. So whenever a wide receiver says something, we want to put it through our wide receiver translator. So this happened last week, right? Treylon Burks being released. So I was on vacation. I haven't had a chance to react to it. I don't really need to react to it because it's old news. But looking back at how that trade worked out for the Tennessee Titans, the Philadelphia Eagles received, it did not work.
No.
It did not work out. The Philadelphia Eagles received A.J. Brown, who has become one of the best receivers in the NFL since then. Meanwhile, the Titans ended up with Treylon Burks, Roger McCreary, Nicholas Petit-Frere, and Kyle Phillips out of that deal. A bit lopsided. A.J. Brown was a guest on the Pardon My Take podcast recently, and the hosts asked him about, hey, now that Treylon Burks is no longer on the Tennessee Titans and that trade is sort of completed, how do you look back on it? How do you feel about it? Here is what A.J. Brown had to say.
I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but it's a good thing for you. Have you seen the completion of the trade from Tennessee to Philadelphia? It might be the best trade the Eagles have ever made, and because they got you and everything you've done. Does that feel at least good to being like, they took a chance on me, they got me, and I basically overperformed to like an insane level in terms of the return?
Yeah, I'm grateful that happened. And I like to say, like, you know, I grew that situation in Tennessee. You know, I'm glad this happened because I feel like I was meant to shine, and we needed a big team with a big market, you know, and I think this is the right place and the best fit for me. You know, I am a little sad, you know, for Treylon Burks. You know, I wish he could, you know, get healthy, because he's a good kid, and I talked to him numerous of times. I got his number, and it just sucks to see it go down like that.
Yeah.
So that was A.J. Brown on Pardon My Take, in case you missed it. Quote, I'm grateful that happened. I outgrew that situation at Tennessee. I'm glad this happened because I felt like I was meant to shine. We needed a big team with a big market, and I think this is the right place and the best fit for me. So it's time for the wide receiver translator.
Wide receiver translator.
Well, wow. That was a lot. That was a little, but said a lot. Let me say it that way. First, it's funny because I do it sometimes too, and I did it when I was younger, you know, calling someone in my same age bracket a kid. I mean, he's in your age bracket, AJ. He's 20, what, 4? You're 28, 29. And even if you're 30, you're still in age bracket.
They're 3 years apart.
Yeah, and he called him kid. I can't get that out of my head. But I'm a person that I listen to words, and because a lot of times people say a lot of things and they try to slide things in because they say a lot, but I pay attention to certain words. And what he said was an indictment on, I'm not going to say it was an indictment on Amy, but it's an indictment on the franchise. You have a young man that was trending toward being a top two receiver, top three receiver, and he's a top three receiver right now. He was trending that way. And come to find out, the market he was in, he was thinking bigger. It was almost like, I'm glad I got out of Nashville because I was destined. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to sit here and make it seem like what A.J. Brown said, it was necessarily wrong, because he just felt that he was not going to be able to reach the potential that he knew he could here in Nashville. Maybe it was from a endorsement standpoint, because he talked about being a small market team, or not enough big personalities, not enough big players. And at the time, I know he wasn't talking about Derrick Henry because he had Derrick Henry on his team. But there comes a time when, you know, and it happens in life, period, where you just outgrow your situation and you're looking to move on in any, whatever facet it is, you're looking to move on. But the slight problem I have with that is that that's not what he was giving off at the time everything was going on, that, oh, Nashville was a smart market. I needed a big market. I wanted my light to shine even brighter. I knew I had the talent. All of that is true. Your light needed to shine brighter. You were becoming an elite wide receiver. But man, oh man, this is not the stuff that we were hearing when all of this was going down. We were hearing he wanted to stay.
Well, let's
he
ask
wanted
this.
To be here.
Do you
and
think
everything
he felt
else.
That way at the time, or this is only? Now, in hindsight, he's looking back on it.
No, I don't operate that way. I just don't. It's like, if I'm not going to say I want to be here, I want to be here, I want to be here, and then we don't get it worked out, I go somewhere else. And then a year, 2 years later, three, it was like, man, yeah, this is. I knew I had to leave. No, that's not right.
But he couldn't have known then how big the whole Eagles thing was going to be. I mean, they started winning big. I don't know that they were viewed at the time as a team that was on the verge of the kind of stuff that they've done. I mean, a couple Super Bowls and a victory.
Super Bowl appearances.
In the spotlight that he's got. Did he foresee that? Like, I think it would be easier for him to say this now. I wonder really how he felt back then. But you feel like he had a – I agree with you 100%. He was a thinking big –
Exactly. He was to me, I'm not going to sit here. And sometimes when we talk about athletes and you know, across the board, men, women, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we don't give them, like, we think that they are not calculated and they are not, there's not sort of this plan they're putting in place when they do certain things. Sometimes we just, they're just athletes. No, there was a plan in place, I'm sure. This was calculated by, and it's not in a bad way. If you feel that way now, I had to have thought you should have felt that way then, because everything he's saying, he had to have known Nashville wasn't a big market back then, and still not a big market in comparison to Philadelphia, New York, Chicago, markets like that. Now, it's grown. Yes, it has. But he was forward thinking. He knew exactly, and again, there's nothing wrong with it. He knew exactly what he was doing when he was doing it at the time. He wanted to go to a bigger market then.
He
wanted to.
You don't think if the Titans had come to the table with the money he was looking for, then he wouldn't have, with his relationship with Vrabel, basically, and knowing did, at the time they still had Willie. Tannehill, they still had
Willie.
Henry,
how much,
they were a number one seed.
How much
you don't did, think he would have taken no, the money?
How much did, because we always talk about state income taxes and all that other stuff. Yep. How much did Philadelphia pay him? 20 per year, basically. The Titans, they were probably willing to give 18. Essentially, that's the same amount.
Yeah, but nobody ever talks about that in the NFL. They never worry about the state tax.
Yes, they do. Willie, see, you're not giving them enough credit, Willie. See, that's the stuff that we do. These guys are thinking about stuff like that. Their agents should be thinking about it.
They should be.
So I can see now he's since got a extension to his contract, but I would have loved to understand, like, okay, if the Titans said, this is the contract, we're giving you $19 million. Boom. We're giving you the same amount of guarantee that Philadelphia is giving you. I wonder if he would have taken it. It seemed to me, the way he's talking now, he wouldn't have taken it. And I don't blame
him. But he wasn't a free agent, was he? Or was he restricted? What was?
No, I'm saying the trade was going to happen. Just period. I'm just saying, like, if the two contracts were put on the table and you were a free agent, he was a free agent just leaving the Titans a free agent year. Do you think he would have accepted that 18 with the same amount of guaranteed money or the 20 at Philadelphia? Based upon what he's saying, he would have taken the 20, which still would have been 18, which he would have. He left the city because the market isn't bigger. He wants a bigger market. He's gotten it, and he's shined, and he's been awesome. He's won a Super Bowl. But I don't think you can, if you're not thinking that thin, this is not like 10 years ago, Willie. This is like 3 years ago. And he's a calculated guy, very smart guy. So if he was thinking about, if he's talking about that now, he was thinking about that then.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A.J. Brown tells Pardon My Take about the Tennessee to Philadelphia trade that he, quote unquote, outgrew that situation at Tennessee. What do you hear when you hear A.J. Brown say that? 615-737-1025. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Jacksonville at First Horizon Park. First pitch is at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure.
Big day and everything. You were let go 2 days later.
Yep.
Did you have any warning, John? Did you have any idea that was happening? Because we didn't.
No, I don't think anybody does. Like, you know, it is what it is. And again, I can't say enough of how grateful I am for Amy and the opportunity she gave me. And I know that was probably a hard decision for her. And I respect her for the decision that she made. It was a bold decision and she made it. And I'm extremely grateful and proud of everything that she did for me and my family and my time here. You know, we had a great relationship, and they made a collective decision to go a different direction, and that's the decision they made.
That was former Titans GM John Robinson with Chase and Big Joe last week discussing the fallout from the trading of A.J. Brown, who was on the Pardon My Take podcast recently, discussing that trade now that it has been sort of completed with the release of Treylon Burks by the Tennessee Titans. And A.J. Brown said, quote, "I'm grateful that happened," meaning the trade. "I outgrew that situation at Tennessee. I'm glad this happened because I felt like I was meant to shine. We needed a big team with a big market, and I think this is the right place and the best fit for me." He goes on to say that he feels bad for Treylon Burks and the way his career is gone. But the key phrase, "I outgrew that situation at Tennessee." So what do you hear when you hear A.J. Brown say that? 615-737-1025. Dylan says, "To me, it sounds like A.J. Brown knew he had developed enough and that he wanted to go to a winning team, and he did not believe the Titans were ever going to win."
They had just been the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
Let's not forget about what it was at the time. That's why I think it's interesting. That's why I sort of push back at D-Mates a little bit of, I'm wondering if he says, in retrospect, I had outgrown that situation. Or did he really feel like in the moment he had outgrown it? It's not like he asked for a trade. at least publicly. He wanted to get paid fairly. The market was changing. But I remember the reaction by most of us. Just like when the Titans released Derrick Henry. Now it looks really dumb in hindsight. Like, what were they doing? He just ran for 1,900 yards. But at the time, it seemed like, okay, that's a reasonable decision to make. I think the trade the day after seemed risky. And, ooh, that's a bold move. But it wasn't like, what are they doing? Because remember, he had acted really childish. He wasn't showing up to this, and he was showing up in a baseball cage, hitting baseballs and kind of implying, I'll just go play baseball. He had missed some games. He didn't blow you out of the way, you know? So let's not forget about how we felt at the time. It's easy to know how we feel today.
Again,
and that's why I wonder where his brain is. Like, did he really feel that way at the time? D-May says yes.
I'm just going by what he said. He said, we needed a big team in a big market. I outgrew that situation. We needed a big team, big market. That tells me you didn't want to be there. You probably, whatever contract the Titans would have given you, you wouldn't have taken it. And you were strategically positioning yourself by not, going back and forth in negotiations, at least toward the end, and then the baseball cage and all that other stuff. You basically systematically got yourself out of here. And there's nothing, listen, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, because when a team and owner is done with you, they will do the same with you. They will get rid of you as quick as they signed you to that big contract. So I'm not saying, he's a bad guy for doing this, but he understood then that I got to go somewhere else. I'm not sure if he would have become the receiver he is now had he stayed here.
That's a fair point. I'm not sure. Derrick Henry was the focal point of the offense.
Yeah, Derrick Henry's and then people say Saquon Barkley. Well, he was there before Saquon Barkley.
He was.
So
His role was already carved out.
Derrick Henry was here before he got here. So Derrick Henry role, the offense ran through Derrick Henry. Make no mistake about it. And AJ understood that. Hell, I understood it when I knew the offense ran through Eddie George. You understand it and you go
and
about your way.
It was working.
And it was working. Yeah. So to me, he understood that if he wanted to leave a legacy on this league, more than likely, it was not going to be here because of the way this organization is built. They are built on running a football, really good defense. And yeah, we'll pass the ball if we need to, but we are a grinded out team. It's been that way since 97, and it's that way now. They're just that team. Now, obviously, Callahan is trying to change some things, but when AJ was here, that's who Vrabel was. And he understood that, but he knew he couldn't grow no further than what he had grown in the three previous years he had been here.
As a reminder, when the Titans traded Brown to the Eagles, the Eagles signed Brown to a four-year, $100 million contract, $57 million guaranteed. Brown was entering the final year of his rookie deal. Just to remind you about what the contract was, that apparently the Titans weren't prepared to give A.J. Brown when he ultimately was traded to Philadelphia.
I think looking back on it, it was a team that was, and I'd be interested in Paul Kuharski's take when he joins us at 4, his recollection of this, but you had Jeffrey Simmons, and you had Derrick Henry, and you had Byard, and you had Ryan Tannehill, who was quite expensive. You had guys like Autry. You had a lot of other guys that you had to pay. It was like any winning team, any team that wins for 4 or 5 straight years, a lot of guys get raises, and there's a lot of money accounting for. And I think Robinson was thinking, and remember also the Julio Jones part of this too. And that also was an investment that came back to bite them. Remember the year before, they had to part with Jonnu Smith. They didn't have to.
They
chose to part with Jonnu Smith. They chose Corey
Davis.
Corey Davis, Jack Conklin. And they didn't do that because they didn't think those guys were good players. They thought, hey, our money is better spent elsewhere. We don't have unlimited money here. So I do think there were salary cap questions, and his calculated risk was, especially after striking out with Jones, I'll trade him. I'll get a first-round pick who's a wide receiver. We'll replace him. It'll be a lot cheaper.
Let's go to Trey on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Trey, what's up, my man? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Doing good.
Hey, Derek, I agree with you. It was calculated. I believe that, you know what I'm saying, they didn't give him what he wanted as far as money. They played with his money. They played him over $2 million. They could have had him for an extra $2 million. So, yeah, I believe what he says, for us, he's saying that he outgrew the situation. You played me for $2 million. And Derek, you know, I don't even think it was the money. I think it was the respect factor. And y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thanks, Trey.
Thank you, Trey. Listen, I'm not sure if it was just $2 million. You know, that was me saying, hey, if they offered him 18 and Philly offered him 20, when you're dealing with taxes, state taxes, it probably ends up being around the same amount. But how much of the guaranteed money is he going to get? If it was the same, then, you know, honestly, what he's saying is correct. I'm trying to envision this team, because the year he left, they started off well, but then they went in the tank. And Robinson got fired. Remember when he said, was it that summer? Was it that same summer, Willie? Or was it the summer before? When he said that about Marcus Mariota and the leadership, and that's the best leader I have been around. And I said what I needed to say about it, but everybody wanted to, you know, that's not what he meant. You know, he respects, you know, Tannehill. And I wasn't saying that he didn't respect Tannehill. But looking back on it now, if he felt Tannehill was the guy and he could not only win, but also, you know, become the receiver he wanted to become and ultimately did or has, he would have stayed here. So that's, like, put all this stuff together. Like, I'm not saying that he thought Ryan Tannehill was trash, because that wasn't the case. But I don't think he felt he could get where he wanted to get and do what he wanted to do with Ryan Tannehill, that quarterback, and his organization. So, lucky for him, he had a relationship with Jalen Hurts. They massaged that whole thing, and his agent got him in Philly where he ultimately wanted to be.
You know what the funny part about this whole conversation is? Mm-hmm. We have NFL Network on in the studio, and they're replaying the Super Bowl.
They're listening to us.
Earlier this year, when the Eagles just curb stomped the Kansas City Chiefs. But let's go to...
Historical perspective, just looking at when things happened, right? Chronologically, because I had to look it up just to make sure I had it right. But A.J. Brown, prior to the 2022 season, draft day of 22, this trade goes down. So at the time, they're coming off of being the number one seed. Mm-hmm. Then we know how 2022 went. Not so good, right? That was when they had the 7-3 and Robinson got fired and the season went south. But he knew, Robinson knew coming on, that the Jeffrey Simmons deal had to be done, right?
But that still doesn't That
Jeffrey
shouldn't
Simmons
matter when you're trying to sign your number one receiver.
April 7th of 2023, prior to the 23 season. So I think Robinson was looking down the road of, hey, I still got Byard. I still got Tannehill. I still got Henry. I got to sign Big Jeff. Like, there was some speculation. Do they have the money? Just physically the money in the tank, right? Because they're not a big cash team. But also the cap space to sign both Simmons and A.J. Brown to big new deals.
Let's quickly go to Bob on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Bob, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I could be wrong. I swore that back when they were talking about doing his extension, he wanted like 20, and then right, and they had already kind of talked about doing it. But then didn't Tariq Hill or somebody else get some massive contract and that changed everything? And then he wanted like 24 or 25.
There were a bunch of wide receivers that summer that were looking for new deals.
Debo Samuel, McLaurin, DK.
McLaurin, who is at the end of this deal he ended up signing right now, and he wants more money, which he probably deserves. Yeah, that was that group.
Yeah.
Was it Metcalf?
It was DK Metcalf.
We will get back into this because we do have a lot of reaction. 615-737-1025. We're going to bring in Paul Kaharsky of paulkaharsky.com. He was in Tampa for today's joint practice between the Titans and Buccaneers. We will get his analysis of practice. We'll also ask him about this because, of course, Paul reported on all of it. We'll do that next. 615-737-1025. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trinetics Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps moms close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at rockthecradlenashville.org.